Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
By the way, we're about to talk about your lawn, your garden, stuff like that. 312-981-7200. You've got a question for our landscaping expert. I also see that my friends at the Ottawa Garden Club in beautiful Ottawa, Illinois, are having their garden contest. They're looking for the best flower gardens, vegetable gardens, flower and vegetable combo gardens, hardscape and decorative elements. They want the wow factor. And you can find out more and actually submit the nomination for somebody at OttawaGardenClubUSA@gmail.com. I guess that's how you send in your nomination. OttawaGardenClubUSA@gmail.com. Or call 815-434-1549. 815-434-1549 for the folks that enjoy beautiful gardens out there. Or if you see one that you want to nominate. More about that later. Let's talk about your lawns and stuff like that with our friend Bob Bertog, president of Bertog Landscape Company. Hey, Bob, welcome back. How are you?
Good, John. Thanks. How are you?
Good. 80 degrees maybe next week, my friend.
85 on Tuesday is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I know. You know, we're going to go from using our heaters to using our air conditioners. I'm not sure what happened to spring this year. Since we spoke last week, what should I know or what am I seeing in my lawn and in my garden, Bob?
Right now, a lot of water. We had about, so far in May, just the first 5 days of May, we've had, or 4 days of May, we've had 1.3 inches of rain. And typically, we have 0.4. So your yard is going to be sloppy and messy, and it's not going to be a fun weekend to work out there. But if we do get to higher temperatures, then, you know, that's... it should start drying things out. But one thing you will see is your grass, when it warms up, it's going to take off to the point where you might have to mow it twice a week. But it depends on how much fertilizer you put down. But the warm weather will definitely get everything popping, as you said about the tulips. And most of the daffodils have already opened, but there are some late tulips that are still ready to pop.
Do you care how close I mow it? I mean, is there an ideal one? I'm not going to hurt it if I mow it too close, am I?
Well, yes, you can if it gets too warm and it's too short. You want to mow season-long anywhere between 2.5 to 3 inches, depending on how much sun you get, how tall it is. But you never actually want to mow more than a third of the grass blade off at a time. That's why I said you might have to mow twice a week, because if you get a lot of growth, the structure of a grass blade, I won't get too technical, but 70% of a grass blade is water. So if you cut it too short, you're taking the grass blade's lifeline of water.
847 said, how do I get... rid of mushrooms in my lawn? I believe there is an old stump below them. How do they get rid of mushrooms in the lawn?
7-iron. That's about it. I'm not kidding. There's never, because it is decaying matter underneath the ground, especially if you had a tree removed. There's still organic matter down there, and it's producing the mushrooms, and especially with all the moisture we've had. But there's no real chemical to put down to try and eradicate the mushrooms.
So you just get your hoe out or your 7-iron or your mower out, and you just physically remove them. Is that what you're telling me?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, 312-981-7200. You can call or text. Please ask Bob what brand name herbicide should be used on weeds but does not harm the grass. Is there a brand you like?
Well, I use golf course products, which aren't typically available to the in the retail market, so... you just want to make sure that if you don't want to harm the grass, it says it's a broad-spectrum herbicide that's for broadleaf weeds, not grassy weeds.
Well, then, yeah, why would anybody buy, what's the purpose of, unless it's Roundup, what's the purpose of a herbicide that's going to hurt your grass? You don't want that, right?
Well, there are some selective herbicides when you have crabgrass that you can spray, and it won't harm your Kentucky bluegrass or your rye or your fescues, and it will attack the crabgrass, which is actually considered a grass, not a broadleaf weed. So there are, again, I know I preach this every week, but you got to read the label. But you want to look for one that's a broad-spectrum broadleaf weed, not a grassy weed this time of year.
It's used on
you won't
weeds.
See crabgrass until June or July.
Won't see crabgrass. Dandelions are dandelions. By the way, my continued battle against the dandelions is going very well.
backhoe on them?
I don't just use the little fork tool. I get a little bit of a, like a long spade. I don't know what kind of shovel that is. It's the narrow, deep one. And I go down and I get it. I pull it out, and then I put some soil and some grass seed there. And I probably do 300-400 weeds a weekend.
So the thing with dandelions, it usually indicates there might be something else going on, typically in the soil. It could be compaction, could be a deficiency of nutrients.
Oh.
So if you are living in a plethora of dandelions, you might want to take that shovel that you're digging them out with and maybe get it tested, because if you have a fertility program that you're using and the grass is growing but yet the dandelions just seem to take over, then you have something going on in the soil, because the best way to control weeds, like I've said before, is to have a good stand of turf. That'll choke out the weeds.
It's 117. Okay, your turn now. 312-981-7200. Bob will answer your questions. 312-981-7200. We're talking to Bob Bertog, as we do on Wednesdays, the president of Bertog Landscaping. Bob, lots of calls for you. You ready to roll here?
Sure. Let's see what we got.
How about Judy? You're on WGN. Judy, how can we help you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. We had a terrible problem late summer, early fall with grubs. You know, what I thought was just drought, all of a sudden, you know, then you see the animal damage from overnight where they were digging it up and digging holes, and sure enough, it was just loaded. So my husband put something down, but it turned out that it was the wrong thing. It wasn't the long-term stuff. I don't know. We went to a garden center to took pictures and everything. But anyway, so now this year, so what we did is we pulled a lot of it up, reseeded. You know, over the winter, some of it's coming up a little bit, and, you know, it still looks pretty terrible. And I can't keep the darn squirrels from digging holes all over. That's a separate problem, I think. But when should we put this Grubex down, which is the long-term stuff for the summer?
Typically about the second week of June, to give you some control into August. And then the squirrels, you can try some sort of deterrent that has an odor to it. Ground coffee beans, they don't like the scent of that for some reason.
So just liberally spread that, like in a spreader, just spew it about the lawn?
Yep.
How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, Judy. Well, good luck to you on that. Thanks for the phone call. 815 says, my lawn is extremely lumpy. Is rolling it a good idea or something else? I've seen lawns like that. What's going on there, Bob?
Usually what's happening underneath there is there's rocks or larger pieces of soil or the clay. It's moving around, and rolling it's only going to make it worse. What you want to do is actually, you want to core aerate where you pull the plugs out, and then those roots will start to fill in the areas, and it's not an overnight solution. It's not a one season solution, but over several seasons, you'll even out your lawn, and rolling it is not that good for it. Like, I know people say, well, they see it on the golf course, they're always rolling the greens, but it's a completely different type of turf, completely different type of underlayment.
Right,
and,
right. So rolling aerate, meaning get that thing that punches the little holes in there,
yep.
Then put grass seed down as you go, and in time you'll get out the bad stuff and grow good stuff.
Correct. You can always add a little more topsoil on top, too, to level it out.
Is it best to bag the grass while cutting?
Depends how much you're cutting off. If you're going to cut off more than a third, yes, because otherwise it's just going to accumulate. But as I said before the break, 70% of a grass blade is water, so that grass blade is actually holding water and nutrients. And if you're only cutting off a third of the blade, you can leave it on the ground to recycle. But if you're trying to cut through 4 to 6 inches of grass, and it's just going to leave big clumps and stuff, and then that's going to eventually build up your thatch layer more than what the organics can break down the thatch.
Is it a good time for weed and feed on my lawn, or is it too late now?
No, you still have time. It's been so cool. The grass really hasn't taken off. You got another week or two for the weed and feed.
Can I plant new seed where I place crabgrass preventatively?
No, it will not germinate.
So what do you do then? Because you've killed that crabgrass. What am I going to put there?
Well, the crabgrass is actually what you're putting down now is a pre-emergent, because the seeds all dropped last summer. And so the seeds are in the soil. And the idea is with the pre-emergent is they germinate. They come in contact with the herbicide and they die. Well, the grass seed doesn't know the difference either. As it germinates, it's going to come in contact with the herbicide and it's not going to survive.
So you're just going to have to deal with those dead spots for a while, huh?
Yeah, and then the thing we tell clients is that it's better to top dress and overseed and not use a pre-emergent in the spring, because they've come out with some very effective post-emergent crabgrass control where it knocks it out relatively easily, where it used to be very difficult. However, that post-emergent crabgrass herbicide is a little more expensive. It's a little pricey.
This is Chris. You're on WGN with Bob Bertug. Chris on line four. Hi, Chris. What can we do for you?
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I've got Japanese knotweed in my yard around the pond, and I've been trying to eradicate that. It's an invasive plant. Digging out the roots, but you leave a little bit, and it grows back. Any suggestions on that?
Unfortunately, being that you said you're next to a pond,
yes.
Right? So you're not, legally you can't spray any herbicides within 10 feet of the water. So the only way to really remove it is to physically extract it. And I know it's a daunting task, but, you know, if there's fish or anything in the pond and you spray any herbicides near it, one, you're, well, for starters, you're breaking the law, but you're going to hurt wildlife.
Well, it's an empty pond, and I've been 100% organic for 30 years, so that's always been not used in my yard. So I guess I got to keep digging. I've been digging for 2 years on it now. So.
Oh, man.
It's a tough one.
What does that look like? What does a Japanese knotweed look like, Chris? I may have some of those, too.
Yeah, it's a tall stalk, and actually it's quite beautiful. I hate admitting this. I introduced it into the yard, but it was under trees for like 10 years. It just stayed in that spot, but the trees died, so the sun started coming down. But it would bend over the pond and have these delicate white flowers that would last for a month or two, it seemed, and sort of a heart-shaped leaf kind of thing. But anyway.
All right. Well, good luck to you. I'm sorry to hear that. It's Josh's turn. You're on WGN. Josh, what can we do for you?
Yeah, so I'm not used to having animals. However, over the wintertime, we acquired a puppy, and I've always kept my yard really nice with, you know, the proper fertilizers and times and all that of putting it down. However, I'm worried about getting that dog sick, and I was wondering if there was anything out there that you recommend that would be more pet-friendly.
If you stick with an organic fertilizer, it'll be fine. The best thing to do, though, is after you put it down and you water it in, it's going to get into the thatch layer pretty quickly. So then the dog's not going to even be able to get to it. And then as far as the herbicide goes, I always recommend to use a liquid herbicide and then stay off of the grass for half hour, 60 minutes till it dries. Once it dries, it's safe to enter the area.
Yeah, no, that's good advice again. Bob, we're out of time. Remember, if you heard only part of this conversation or want to repeat it, we will podcast it. You'll be able to listen to this again and share it with your friends at WGNRadio.com on the John Williams page. This conversation with Bob will live there as well. President of Bertug Landscaping in Wheeling. Okay, Bob, maybe next week, huh? Thanks for your time
today.
Sounds
good.